Shalom, shalom, most precious saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries, and I'm so happy you have tuned in and on time for the news portion of our program. Ariel Sharon has finally been laid to rest after 7 years of being in a coma following a massive stroke just months after forcing his own Jewish people out of the Gaza Strip. How typical that terrorists from this same area were shooting rockets just minutes away from the Sharon burial site. No surprise, though, to the Israeli Air Force, who were ready for them and did strike back, hitting some terrorist targets. The South is still on high alert, and residents are being asked to stay indoors. I find it so hard to imagine rockets zooming past my house. Wow. And of course, so many have asked me about the Rabbi Kaduri's prophecy that Jesus will return, but not before Sharon was laid to rest. Well, that has now occurred, and one wonders, is this the year? Especially with the blood moon coming on April 15th on Passover, which Joel 2 and Acts 2 says will happen before the day of the Lord begins. Signs, signs, and still more signs. Hebrews 10:5 says to encourage each other as we see the day approaching. Are you seeing it yet? Meanwhile, the Palestinians still refuse to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. They maintain their opposition to a united Jerusalem and an uncompromising demand for the restoration of Palestinian refugees to Israeli soil. These are, of course, and always have been, the key obstacles to a peace accord with Israel. The standing question remains, who will give in? In other news, fighting continues in Syria as our Secretary of State John Kerry and Foreign Minister Lavrov of Paris are trying to bring about some kind of localized truce between Assad's army and the rebels, and other preparatory steps before the Geneva II conference, which starts in Switzerland on January 22nd. The real plan of Kerry is to put enough pressure on Assad for him to step down from power. We shall see. And lastly, it is disturbing that not much information is flowing on the Iran situation, and it's particularly obvious that the United States is not sharing with Israel. And neither is the powers of six nations, who is also negotiating with Iran. Why, you might ask? According to an anonymous news source, Obama has personally vetoed any briefing to Israel on the content of the Iran negotiations. Does anyone remember Obama's private and public pledges to Netanyahu of full transparency? The secret deal stirs up even more concern and mistrust and further denotes an even sharper decline in the strategic relations between the United States and Israel, leaving Netanyahu still in the dark on an issue of vital concern to its security from a nation determined to destroy them. I suspect Iran is getting a great deal, perhaps a lot of it off paper, which is why they don't want to reveal anything. And that so-called agreement of 3 months ago in Geneva? Mostly hot air. It omitted any details on how or when Iran would dismantle its nuclear program and neglected to address the critical issue of Iran's nuclear capability ballistic missiles. Then to top it off, Iran itself then contradicted Obama's assertions. And yet Obama still claims that Iran will, by January 20th, start eliminating its stockpile of higher-level enriched uranium and begin dismantling some of the infrastructure that makes such enrichment possible. Keyword there is some, not all. Iran's deputy foreign minister recently said, and I quote, "We are aware of Mr. Obama's problems in Congress, but dismantling abuses the word. In the light of the conflicting versions coming out of the White House and Iran and Joe Biden's refusal to level with Netanyahu on the latest rounds of nuclear talks, if I was Netanyahu, I'd be wondering what, in fact, if anything, has been achieved in the way of curbing Iran's progress toward a bomb. I'm certainly no expert, but to me, Obama's policies have opened the door for a major Iranian political offensive in the Middle East, which gives Iran free rein to meddle profoundly in the affairs of Iraq, which is happening, and soon Lebanon, who will be holding major elections this year, who Iran is pushing hard for their Shia Hezbollah to come out ahead as they continue to keep Syria's Assad under their thumbs and in power. At the end of the day, there is no doubt Iran is rapidly continuing to enrich in spite of what Washington tells you. I guess we can just add that to the list of lies. Now let me think. Who is the father of lies? Once again, let me always remind you to not be upset. This is all happening to fulfill prophecy. So rejoice. Worry not, for nothing can stop God's ultimate plan. And we here at Shofar Ministries will help you stay focused on His plan to speed you up to share the gospel. So please keep us in your prayers that we can remain on the air, and donations are needed to do that. Now, don't move that dial or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Baruch Hashem Adonai, Shalom Chavarim. That means, bless the name of the Lord and peace to our friends and everyone listening tonight. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour on WHKW Christian Radio. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher and former band booker for John Bartlett, Sheila Crawford. Bet you didn't know that. So get ready to take some notes and enjoy the remaining hour of learning from God's Word. But as we always do, we're going to start with a prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being on the air tonight and the opportunity to proclaim your truth, your word, and your sovereignty over the airwaves. Let your Holy Spirit guide us tonight, and please make us know your ways so you can guide us in your truth, because you're the God who saves us. And we want to pray, especially tonight, for the spiritual welfare of all our listeners. Now, many of you send in prayer requests, and we're going to lift those up, actually physically right now. All of you who have sent in prayer requests to us, we write them on a little piece of paper, and Abba, I'm going to hold these up to you right now, and that you honor the faith of our listeners and these precious saints of yours, and be merciful, Lord. We need your mercy, and we need your healing. We need you to draw our families closer to you. We need you to bring our children back. Some of us have pain, some of us have illness, some of us have serious illness. We lift all that up to you tonight. And we trust you because you are the God who saves us. You are the God who heals us. And you are our God. And we thank you for that. And also, Lord, we also pray that those out there that are able to make a commitment to support this ministry will do so. And we ask all this in the name of Yeshua.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John, and shalom to you. I want to remind the listeners that the lines are always open for your end time questions. 888-677-WORD. 888-677-WORD.
All right. And remember, if you missed any previous shows, you can go to the shofarministries.net where they are all archived. Okay? So, Sheila, now I know this week we'll be continuing in the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And there's a lot of sevens. But we should recap what we talked about last week, don't you think?
Yes.
Even though it's archived.
That's true.
We will talk about
it. But we did begin in the book of Revelation with chapter 1, of course, being the vision of Jesus to John the Revelator.
Yeah, it was quite a vision indeed. And I thought it was interesting that Jesus describes himself 24 different ways, or the 24 descriptive titles that he uses in each of his opening remarks to the seven churches.
That's right. A different title per church, which right in the beginning gives you the flavor of what he's going to say to them.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually. Actually, it identifies him as the one that is giving the message because it sounds so much like the Gospels.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And since we are an end times type of program,
we
will be focusing on the prophetic application of these churches. And when you take them in order that he has given to us and to John, it actually does outline church history right up to the present time.
That's right. But before we continue, though, I once again want to repeat that great promise that's given to us. It's not written. You can't find this in any other book of the Bible. And in fact, it's in Revelation twice, once in the beginning and again
at the end
in chapter 22.
I think that's a great idea. Go ahead.
Want me to read those? Okay.
Yes, it's verse 3 in chapter 1.
Oh, okay. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near.
And what does hear really mean?
Hear really means to understand. So there's three things there. Read, hear, and understand.
That's right.
And also, the time is near. That pretty much describes Shofar Ministries, doesn't it?
Yes, we're...
That's what we're all about, right?
That's right. It definitely is. But just think, though, this is a special blessing to anyone who will study the book of Revelation. It's yours if you want it, saints. And yet, you know, the majority of the churches do not want to hear about it.
And that's too bad, because these times are perilous times indeed. We're in the last times, and it really helps if you can make a little bit of sense of them.
Plus, they get a special blessing.
And you get a blessing. What's that blessing we talked about?
Yeah, we talked about it last time. I believe it's a hunger to study more.
Yeah.
A desire, a real can't wait till I open the Bible type of study.
Okay.
Now, that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
And that is a blessing, and it's happened to me, and I can attest to that. Let's see. You already gave the news, right?
I did.
Well, don't you have some news that happened to you this week?
Oh, do you want me to say that?
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting.
Well, all right, sure. I won't mention any names or anything, but I found out that somebody referred me to a person that was in charge of a woman's retreat coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do that kind of thing, don't you?
I do. And so the lady called me, and we started talking, and she told me the topic, and then I told her how I could actually fit that topic in quite nicely with an end-time scenario, okay? And, you know, gave her some ideas, and it was like dead silence on the other end.
Oh,
apparently,
no.
The lady that referred me didn't tell her that we're living in the end times, and we got to tell these people, you know. But she says, you know, I'm going to politely decline. I don't think that's really what we want to do. So, there you go.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah.
And why do you think that is? Nobody wants to hear about the end times.
Well,
I mean,
besides being lazy and they can't check it out, many are just not sure how one would believe about the end time scenario. And let's face it, the homework is necessary. Especially because there are so many opinions, and that's because the enemy gets involved, and he causes these differences so that we'll get so confused that people will say, oh, forget it, I don't know who's right anymore.
But that's right. We've done whole shows on that subject alone. Yeah.
You can't go by what someone says.
Mm-hmm.
I can stir someone up and tell them why I believe something, but then they have to go and check it out. And so, yeah, it does take work. It takes homework.
It does.
It takes time spent in his word, and that's why he says there's a special blessing. If you do it, the Revelation is definitely the end time book. But, you know, you do get different opinions like pre-trib, mid-trib, even post-trib, talking about the rapture, amillennialism, premillennialism, and now there's even pre-wrath tribulation, preterism. I mean, there's so much. So I can see why someone would cause confusion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's overwhelming when you put it that way.
And confusion, but confusion is not from God. Okay, it's from the enemy, and who I am positive has purposely, as I said, infiltrated the churches and given false theology through false teachers.
Absolutely. You always said that that's where you're going to find the enemy, is sitting next to you in,
oh, yeah,
in,
yeah,
church.
They're wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yes, exactly.
And they misinterpret scriptures, and they make believers feel that they just shouldn't go there. In other words, just leave it alone, mm-hmm, and it'll all pan out in the end.
Well, that's the pan-tribulationists, aren't they? I know you don't like that.
You're right. Don't ever tell me you are a pan-tribber.
It'll all pan out in the end.
Because that tells me that you're not anxiously awaiting him.
Mm.
So actually, you are committing a sin of omission, and you got to repent.
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. He says to be anxiously awaiting him.
Wow, I got to agree, because there are so many scriptures that tell us to look for our blessed hope.
That's right, and especially, yeah, as you see the day approaching, as I said in the opening statement.
Can you see it?
Do you see it yet?
Yes.
I mean, what else does he have to do?
Really? Oh, my.
But the church is so asleep, they aren't even recognizing the signs.
I know what happens if you fall asleep on the freeway and you don't look at the signs, what can happen. Imagine when you have your life in the hands there.
Yeah, and we're talking about
your spiritual life and your destiny.
That's not so much that, you know, someone that doesn't want to study prophecy is still going to go to heaven.
Right.
However,
that's not what you're saying.
Their evangelism suffers when, mm-hmm, they don't think that he's coming back at any time soon.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah. And also, too, when you think he's coming back soon, or I believe, and I believe out of information that I've,
truth.
But, it makes me want to really get my house in order. Is that a good way to put it?
Tell as many people in your family.
Family,
for sure.
Do some introspection, what could I change, what do I need to repent of, et cetera, et cetera,
sure,
which is a lot. But it's,
well, it's not going to keep you here, though.
No,
let's make sure that's clear.
Well, that is clear. But, but I mean, it's just a good
moment. Because our sins have been taken to the cross.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's spoken like a true preacher there.
Well, I just wonder what's going to happen, though, when people see the blood moon that's coming this April that Joel and Acts says has to happen before the day of the Lord begins. And that's...
Oh, well, that's a whole other subject. And that, of course, we'll be talking about that as the weeks progress here. So,
we have to.
Yeah, so stay tuned, in the coming months, because we're going to really get into that. But right now, I've got to ask you, listeners, if you would like Sheila to speak at your group, and please explain to
her what I do.
What she does, just call our office at 440-834-9006. And have your pastor call her, but inform him what
he's... if you suggest that he listens to a couple of the radio programs,
right,
he'll know exactly where I come from and what I stand for.
Good idea.
And then he can invite me.
Yeah, 440-834-9006.
All right, well, we got to move on. Time, mm-hmm, is flying. Okay, so after chapter 1's introduction, chapter 2 begins with Jesus speaking to these seven churches, prophetically, of course, if you take them in order. And it begins with the church at Ephesus. And that meant, Ephesus means darling, and, mm-hmm, it's his darling church where it all began. Covers the years between 32 and 100 AD. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And again, Ephesus started out gung ho, but unfortunately they lost their first love of intimacy, that espousal love. They held on to tradition and discipled well, but lost the hunger to grow closer.
And, of course, we ask, does that personally apply to us or anyone out there?
Yes, you can always look at all these letters on a personal note as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, comes the era after that of gross persecution.
Yes.
Right? And we get to the next church that was between 100 and 312 or 312 AD.
Yes, so we covered that last time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the myrrh actually means embalming spice. Did you already say that?
No,
okay.
But that's good.
Which is amazing because there was so much death there that their name would mean myrrh.
Hmm, that's interesting.
Sort of like that spice that Jesus received when he was born.
Hmm.
Anyway, the church was surrounded by a highly paganistic era.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the Smyrna Christians were extremely persecuted by the Roman emperors. Jesus, in his letter, told them to overcome by remaining faithful to the end. And so then they would not be hurt by the second death. And then we left off with the Church of Pergamos, and we actually didn't finish that. In fact, we only read it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that before I discuss it, we should just reread it again, and then we'll talk about it. And again, this is the Church of Pergamos. This is the third church. Now we're in the years like 312 until around 606. Pergamos is the capital of Asia Minor,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually the prelude time to the Dark Ages. So can you read that, John?
It's from Revelation
2.
Okay.
12, and I think it starts in 12.
Okay. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it."
And again, let's notice his title. He who has a sharp, two-edged sword. Now, remember Ephesus' title? It was that he held the seven stars and walked among the lampstands, which we saw was the church. And then in Smyrna, he was the first and the last who was dead and came back to life. And, of course, speaking to the church that would be persecuted. So that was a good title for that.
Yeah, that's very encouraging.
You the flavor what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But now we see a different flavor. Because in around the year 300 A.D., paganism had taken over the empire. But Christianity, in spite of the great persecutions, was still growing larger. Which, of course, made Satan very mad, furious. So he came up with a plan.
And isn't that plan, isn't that the old saying, if you can't beat him, join him?
Yes, that's the plan.
That's
exactly what happened. Satan gave Constantine a vision of a cross in the sky with the message in this sign, conquer. And sure enough, he won the next day the very important battle against his own brother-in-law, Maxentius, who had fallen in the water and drowned, for they were fighting on the Maluvian Bridge. But anyway, that made Constantine the sole ruler over all the empire. He officially stopped the persecutions and helped to make Christianity, or should I say, a form of it, the state's religion. Now, of course, there's going to be some variations to the history of the church. I mean, depending on who you're reading, if especially if they're Catholic or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we need for our studying of the Bible to get too detailed, so that's why I give just kind of an overview to help people to get a flavor of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can study church history on your own, of course.
Exactly.
It's quite interesting, but again, not all necessary for us.
Well, not tonight
right
anyway.
Now. No. I mean, there's volumes written on this stuff. Volumes.
And it's all very interesting, and it will help your understanding a lot.
Yes, it does. I've really helped connect the dots.
Yes.
And I'm still doing it, and I will share a lot of it.
I don't think you'll ever get tired
of it. In the coming weeks. But anyway, the name Pergamos actually means mixed marriage.
It does?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So how fitting, because the church married the world.
Hmm.
Now, I assume most thought it was great until they realized how false teaching and idol worship would be substituted into all the important ideologies and customs, dates,
calendar
et cetera.
Days, yeah. Holidays.
which, by the way, in the next church, goes to the extreme.
Well, that's why Jesus said in verse 13 that they lived where Satan's throne is. Is that why he said that?
Yeah.
But, you know, I always thought Babylon, you know, where Nimrod and his wife Semiramis lived, I thought that's where Satan had his throne.
He did have it there. That's true. And when I first read this, when I was, you know, first studying Revelation, I didn't get this until I studied history. And then I realized that Satan's throne is in Pergamos now, because when Persia overtook Babylon, okay, remember Daniel 5 talks about that? Well, the Persian people had their own strong religion called Zoroastrianism.
Zoroastrianism.
Yes, thank you. And paganism had no place there. So the Persians forced the Babylonian priests out.
Yeah, and they said, take your throne with you.
That's right. So they moved its headquarters to Pergamum. And again, that was back in the 6th century B.C.
And, Sheila, didn't you tell me that, so we know that Satan's throne moves around a little bit here.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not stationary. And you did tell me that we would be going into greater depth on Babylon later. And who is Babylon? Who is this? Is it the woman that rides the beast? I don't know.
Revelation 17 to me is definitely the Pope.
Okay.
We'll be talking about the Black Pope as well, and I don't think a lot of people know about him. So
we've got
a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do.
It should be interesting, and I think people will learn a lot in everything that you hear me say. It's easy to check. Believe me, there's a lot of information on what I say. It's just amazing to me that so little amount of people know it, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, good. I'm glad you got that out.
I get tongue tied because I get so excited about this.
I could tell. I could see it in your face. You are very excited about this.
Yes. But anyway, so Daniel 5, 800 years after paganism moved to Pergamos, it had become a very famous place. Okay. It had the biggest manuscripts library anywhere in the world. Everyone who wanted to study actually went there. It was a world wonder.
Well, one of the... What, seven world wonders or something like that?
Maybe. So for the next few hundred years, and this again is beginning around 312, the church allowed false teachings to permeate and grow, along with the doctrine of the Nicolaitans.
Now, Nicolaitans always stumped me what that was. You know, I thought they were a certain race even. I didn't know.
Sure.
But you look it up, and it's a term for rule over the people. Nico actually means rule over or defeat, maybe in some cases. And laitans is where we get the word laity. So there's your rule over the people. And I think some of that came from only the elite had access to the scriptures at that time.
Yeah, and I don't think they really read them. But
they did. They didn't understand them too well.
In other words, the hierarchy or the rulers would make the decisions. They tell the people what they should know, you know, what they could learn. And again, they elevated themselves as even being more spiritual than they. And that is still here today.
Yes.
And of course, we see that in the Catholic Church.
Absolutely.
You know, priests can only do certain things. And for a while, as I grew up in the Catholic Church, I was told only the priest could read the Bible and so many, many other things. They could only forgive your sins. You know, it just goes on and on. So Constantine here was actually calling the shots, but Christianity did not bring about the unity he even hoped for, because during his reign, he had to mediate in various religious disputes often. As an example, Arianism versus Trinitarianism. And in 325, Constantine held the first Council of Nicaea. And it was to resolve the dispute. And, of course, the Trinity won. Praise God. But this set a precedent for future emperors when it came to resolving religious disputes. They were the final say.
Well, you can see the seeds of what's going to develop later in this history here. You know.
And I think that's interesting, because all through history, there's always been a prelude before something big, and we're seeing it again today.
Well, that's because things gradually develop before
they.
It's like something like the stem of the flower grows and develops really quickly, and it's very large before you see the flower and the fruit, if you want to say
very
it that
smart,
way.
Very smart analogy. I like that very much. So, yes, these are the days of foreshadows until the Roman Catholic Church officially ruled over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And let me add, again, today we are seeing the same thing. We see the new pope really gaining a great following. And they think everything
he says is just
perfect, but everything he says is not perfect by any means. But once again, having complete control as the one world religion and the one world government are about to take over.
And this is history repeating itself, and those that don't learn from it are doomed to repeat it.
Oh, that is so true. But anyway, let's, once again, this was the beginning, the Pergamus was the beginning of paganism in the church. Mm-hmm. They removed the Jewish feasts and replaced with pagan holidays, but renamed with a Christian name.
Mm-hmm.
Passover became Easter, replaced Teshuvah with Lent and added many rules. They changed the Queen of Heaven, whose name was Semiramis originally, and it changed according to the nation that you were in.
Mm-hmm.
They started to call her Mary.
Yeah, and we'll actually see her worshipped in the next church that comes up.
Mm-hmm. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which we've already talked about, gave them a lot of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got stronger. And again, it flourishes in the next church. And the first temple of an imperial cult was built in Pergamus and had emperor worship to Domitian.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they destroyed many synagogues and burnt many Jewish writings.
Yeah, these were people that knew what the Bible said.
For sure, the Old Testament. Okay, so these first three churches, okay, Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamus, are now past tense.
Hmm.
But the next four are still all here today. And again, it begins in around the year 606 with its first official pope.
Hmm.
Now, the Catholic Church says there were popes since Peter, but secular history says they were actually called bishops that ruled.
Yeah, there's no need to fight over that.
But we don't. That's not important for us to know.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't serve our purpose. So, now we get into the next letter.
Okay.
And this is going to bring a real change of pace and style. And now we're going to notice that the promise, and I know you have that graph in front of you.
I do now.
But notice how the promise at the end of each letter.
Hmm. Yes.
Is, let me look at it real quick here.
Oh.
Hold on just a second. I lost my place. Okay. From now on, the promise is before he that hath an ear. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I see that on the chart now.
Right.
Yes. Gotcha.
And so it's just the opposite now. Now, you probably are going to ask me why.
Yes, why? Why is that?
Well, the first three are prophetically past tense, although, remember, there's always a little of everything somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, they're done existing. For instance, Smyrna, that was, they were being persecuted worldwide. Now, we still see little pockets of that today, but certainly not worldwide.
Right.
So that's past tense. But these three, the first three that are past tense, were not given a blessed hope of Jesus' return at all.
That's missing.
That's right, because they wouldn't be
here. Oh, that is missing. See it on the chart.
That's right. Isn't that chart nice?
Yes, that is nice.
And Thyatira is the first time the tribulation is warned of.
Now, there's a good that says a lot.
Smyrna was encouraged to see it through to death and never said they'd be delivered from it.
Hmm.
The last four churches are here till the end.
I believe it now.
With one of the four being removed, then where are they, John, those that are going to be left behind?
Well, they're all in church. They're in the one world church called Mystery Babylon, or the harlot, or woman who rides the beast, which is the one world government.
That's right. One world church and the one world government. Amen. They will be here.
They will be here, and hopefully they will be on their knees and praying for forgiveness soon. right?
Yes, and then they can still be part of the kingdom.
Yes, they can.
Yes, I believe that God will never say someone can't be saved that wants to.
That's right.
Unless they take the mark. But then once that happens, they've already renounced.
Ah, I see.
Too late then. Mm. So. But that doesn't happen until somewhat into the tribulation, so they still have time to repent as soon as they notice that we're gone and say,
yes.
Whoops, I guess they were right.
Yes, and they and they don't believe the lie about the flying saucers that took everybody and
to
another planet.
Correct.
Sounds funny, but there's actually people.
No, that, I know that there's quite a few actually New Agers that believe that.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in the next letter, Thyatira, judgments are pronounced, and the Lord assumes His supreme title, Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, to the first three, He revealed Himself in attributes that would stimulate faith and call for dependent trust. But now, judgment with flaming eyes. So that should get your attention right off.
Well, bronze and fire always mean judgment.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to actually read verse by verse the Church of Thyatira. Okay, so let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned.
Operator, give me information. Information, give me long distance. Long distance.
Get me Jesus back on the line. That was little Laura Fedor. Welcome back to the show for our Ministries Hour. You've been listening to the first half hour. We just came back and we're doing the seven churches in the book of Revelation, their prophetic application.
If anybody would happen to want one of these charts that outline all the seven churches and their promises and the title and all that stuff, for any donation, send me a stamp, envelope,
self-addressed,
and I'll send you one.
Yeah.
I don't have it on my computer. It's been around since I oh gosh, it's 20 years ago, I guess.
And I'll tell you what, if you could make it so the print's a little bigger, that's fine.
That's right.
If not, that's fine too. But it has the information that you need, and you can see how the prophecy just kind of leaps out when you have it in a chart form like that.
And I could send him a magnifying glass along with it.
So any oh, man. Well, any donation, you can get this chart. And, of course, you know, they're all still tax-deductible, you know. And
everything.
We appreciate everything that you listeners do to keep us on the air. Please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, Ohio. Or on our web homepage, there's a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So be sure to include your email or house address.
That's right. And remember the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland. Both begin with Messianic worship at 7 p.m.
Yeah, don't forget that. And this is a live radio show. You can call us toll free, 888-677-WORD. And if you're too shy to talk on the air, we'll just give your little question to Derek about
the end times,
and he'll be happy to relay
it
to us.
Yeah. Or if you have questions and you want to email me during the week, I will also answer them on the air, and that's Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net.
Remember .net, not .com on that one,
okay?
Well, let's get back to the Church of Thyatira, I guess, right?
That's right, and we're expecting you to read that.
Okay, got it right here. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depth of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." That was heavy.
That was very heavy, you betcha, and meaningful. Church of Thyatira, the name actually means continual sacrifice. And, of course, that's what they do in the Mass. The Catholic Church today is the Church of Thyatira.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Mass, which every time they do the Mass, Jesus gets sacrificed again.
Mm-hmm. There is no continual sacrifice anymore because that went away when the temple was destroyed.
Which is why we do not even keep Jesus on the cross anymore, because he's risen from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
But they keep him on the cross because they continually sacrifice him.
Mm-hmm.
This is wrong, okay? Again, it represents the denial of the completed work. Anyway, the Church of Thyatira kind of starts in the year 606, and it still is.
Mm-hmm. Still going.
Besides the Mass, they have the Queen of Heaven now, but they've named her Mary, the Mother of God.
Mm-hmm.
Queen of Heaven goes back to paganism. It was Semiramis, and it was Isis in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
and different people depending on where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
They declared Mary the Mother of God, not just Jesus. they actually have taken it to extreme and have made her divine, declaring her without sin and the Immaculate Conception, which means she was immaculately conceived.
In other words, not conceived by human means.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vatican Council is the one that verified that in 1870. And they also said she remained a virgin forever.
Now we know that's false.
This is such heresy, and it is not what Mary said. Mary called Jesus her Savior, which means she was a sinner.
That's definitely very false.
They allowed false teaching like Jezebel, and we need to comment on that. And that's why Jesus wrote about it in the Church of Thyatira. Because Jezebel was actually the wife of Ahab, and you can read about her in 1 Kings 21. But what she did was actually steal land, or Naboth's vineyard. And you can compare that to the Inquisitions of the era of this church, where they stole people's land.
And making
and
false...
killed them over it.
And murdered them and made false claims to steal it.
That's right.
And had false witnesses to do that, just like Jezebel did. And most, unfortunately, most of those people were Jews. The Inquisition mostly were killed and tortured, and most of them were Jews. The other thing about Jezebel, though, if you go back and read it, you'll see that Jezebel also brought idolatry into Israel. She influenced the king, I think it was Ahab, right? And she, which was her husband, she influenced him to get the people to start worshiping idols again. Now that makes it, that and that makes it similar too.
That's right. I just think it's so important. I love my Catholic brothers and sisters so much because I was raised Catholic. And if somebody hadn't told me the truth, I'd still be there. And I just think that this truth has to come out. And I know it's not going to be liked. I understand that.
I know. You took a lot of persecution from your own family, I know.
That's right.
For taking stands like this.
Ephesians 5 says to expose it and do not partake in the darkness. But as I was growing up, it was still this way. Catholics, we weren't even allowed to have a close association with a Jew, okay?
You weren't even supposed to talk to one, was that?
No, and during this time, during the time of Thyatira, they could get killed for it. It would, and definite excommunication, where their name would be taken out of the book. And, of course, in that time, if your name was taken out of or you were excommunicated from the Catholic Church, it meant you were immediately but when you died, you would go to hell.
And there
was
no hope for you at all.
No. And that really meant a lot to them, and especially the kings, which is why they would hold allegiance to the Pope.
Right.
For that reason.
Yeah, and the Pope really had a lot of power, and he terrified people.
Yes.
And kings, terrified kings.
Yes. Now, officially the first pope was the political figure as well, Leo the Great. He saved the annihilation of Rome twice, and he was called the Pontifex Maximus, which means supreme pontiff. The split came between the Eastern Orthodox, which actually were more with the pictures, not pictures, icons.
They call them icons. They're paintings, representations.
But they sometimes didn't have a face, right?
No, they did, but the face was always made the same way.
Got it. Yeah. And anyway, and then Rome would be in the West. And Rome was now the new Babylon of Revelation 17.
Yeah, and we'll discuss more of Revelation 17 in future works, or future weeks. I told you in the future. Anyway. We'll have some real shocking information to share, okay? And let's back up a little bit. When you said that your name would be taken out of their book,
excommunicated.
That means excommunicated. But doesn't the Lord make a reference to that in one of these letters about taking a name out of the book?
Yeah, we're going to get to that next week.
Okay.
Yeah, and I will talk about it then.
That's an important bit of information.
I just know that there are good people out there that need to know it's time to escape the Catholic Church. Because it's getting worse. When you hear a pope say atheists can go to heaven and you still partake in her abominations, that's absolutely wrong, and there's no excuse for it because the information is easy to attain. And we'll be covering much of that over the next few months. But we're going to have to close.
No.
You're kidding me. Yeah, we've run out of time.
Yes. Well, listen.
And we had a caller, but I apologize. I can't get to it.
Oh.
And stay on the line. Maybe we'll talk after.
That's true. Okay, well, before we go, and you did mention that you do have a lot of, you know, there's a lot of beautiful, wonderful Catholic people out there that have not a clue what we just went over tonight. And they're still good people. Some of them, they know Jesus as their personal Savior. And you could be any denomination, but if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, then you're going to be here for the tribulation. And we ask you right now, if you haven't made or turned your life over to Him or received Him as your Savior, to do that right now. And it's easy to do. We suggest get on your knees, even right now, and just tell Him. Agree that you're a sinner. And if you're recommitting your life, just tell Him what the sins that have been... He knows already. Tell Him what's been keeping you back and holding you back, weighing you down. Then recommit your life to Him. And you know what? When you repent and turn towards the Lord, He is right there. You take one step, He takes two. And He says, repent when I reprove you, and I will pour, make my words known to you, and I will pour out my Spirit on you.
Amen.
So do that.
That's right. And then go and fulfill the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of His own, for judgment is very near.
Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now remember, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month, Chester Christian Center in Chesterland at 7 p.m.
And be sure to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Not maybe.
That's Psalm 122:6. Shalom, everybody. See you right back here next week.
Amen.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.